Yeah, Daryl, you know, they've got $7 billion invested in America. $7 trillion, sorry.
Trillion, yeah.
Trillion dollars. And that money comes from the earth. You know, it's oil money, and that belongs to the country. It doesn't belong to the monarchy of Saudi Arabia, you know.
That's right.
Now this is what I'm trying to say, you know, that there is, we've got economic hitmen, you know, and they make people, you know, into slaves for the rest of their lives, you know.
I believe you're right, and the way they do it is different in each instance, but always the same effect. We lose, they win. We become weaker, they become stronger. But it is only through truth and through people networking together and sharing these facts with each other that we're going to defeat them. You see, this doesn't have to be a violent change or a violent education. What it has to be is basically people caring enough about the future for their families and their children to finally say, I've had enough, and I'm going to share what I know with others. And that's what it's going to take.
And Daryl, you know, we got to change the history. I don't mean we got to change the history. We got to talk about the truthful history, you know.
Right.
The history today is based on Zionism. You know, any Muslim country, you talk about the Palestinian history, you know. I was debating with someone in South Africa over the Palestinian history. You know, the Jews have got one history that favors them, and it's based on a lie. And I'm sorry to use the word Jews. It's not the Jews. I think it's the Zionists.
It is Zionist.
It's
right.
Not the Jews. You know, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm a racist or something, you know. But
no, you don't sound like a racist, Abdullah. You sound like somebody who knows the difference between a political movement and a religion. That's what
And the only place in the world, Daryl, I believe that they failed to get under the clutches is the country of Panama, you know. This is the only country that America really failed to get their clutches on, you know. You look at Indonesia, you look at the Philippines, they've all been subject to the hitmen, you know.
Well, Malaysia, I got to say, Malaysia under Tan Mahathir Mohamad, and in fact, with help from friends of mine, people I know, James Gibbs Stewart up in Scotland, Mohammed Rafiq out of London, David Pidcock out of London in India, and others, gave the Prime Minister, when he was in power, a way to avoid going into serious debt to the IMF and World Bank. And what he did basically was save his country from complete control by this group. And still today, they are still free in some areas from the clutches of this group. And, you know, they're working very hard to take Malaysia back from its middle class. But you know what? They're going to keep doing it. They've done it in Serbia. They're doing it now in many parts of the world. They want to do it in Iran. Any place that they are not in full control over, you end up in a war with. That's what it seems like.
Daryl, just before I put the phone down, one last thing, you know.
Yep.
I'm still perplexed as to why Afghanistan was bombed, you know. They had nothing to do with the falling of the towers in New York. And nobody, you know, what surprises me is that nobody in the world can see the truth of this, you know. Except people like you, know, that stand up to the truth.
Abdullah, let me answer that one for you. But first of all, the drug trade figures very prominently in this. The Americans, Zionists, and the European Zionists have always been involved in drug trafficking. And you'll note that the Taliban has actually eliminated great swaths of opium production in Afghanistan. Well, what happened as soon as the Americans took over, opium production doubled, tripled, and quadrupled, and now it is at the highest level it's ever been, and those illegal drugs are used as cash. You'll find these same forces involved in the cocaine trade out of South America. The second reason was there is out of the Middle Asian republics of southern Russia, Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan and all of these different northern Kush region countries that are full of oil. They needed a stable government in Afghanistan to run a huge pipeline through the country.
Absolutely.
They took an executive from Conoco. His name was Ahmed Karzai, and Karzai is an American-educated oil executive that they turned into the president of. Well, they installed him as president of Afghanistan, and basically It's about oil transfer. It's about subjugating another Islamic country, and it's about drug production.
Daryl, it has been a great pleasure to talk to you. And
I'm glad you called. And
may Almighty God, may the Almighty God shower you with His choicest blessings, and may you continue your good work. You have the support of most of the people of South Africa.
Well, thank you very much for your support.
And we're going to be listening to you for a very long time to come, hopefully.
Well, that's hopefully they won't come crashing through my door, Abdullah, because, you know, I've always feared that Mr. Sarkozy, being part of this gang, was going to come crashing through my home here and do terrible things to my family and myself. I'm going to put the truth out until I can't do it anymore. That's a fact.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we find these problems erupting in our lives like this, you know, such as a country like Afghanistan, who have had a long history their country was improving under the Taliban. In fact, they got rid of drug production. Many of the drug lords and others had been pushed out of control. And then, of course, the Americans and the Israelis and the British come back in and institute drug production once again. And there's no education to speak of. There's no infrastructure being built. There's no healthcare system. There's no future for the country. There's drug production and there's war, as there has always been. And it's happening again, of course, under the same group in Georgia now, in the Caucasus region. And I'm speaking with Nadia. Nadia, are you with me?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Nadia.
How are you?
Very well, Nadia. Do you have a question?
I'd like to know what your opinion is on why are these big pharmaceutical companies allowed to sell us medicine with such harmful side effects? And also, what is your opinion on the vaccine, program? Why it is being forced worldwide?
It's probably the most important question anyone has ever asked me, Nadia, and I want to thank you for bringing it up. I have to tell you all that these vaccine programs are for poisoning the public. That's what they're for. Essentially, every place in the African continent that has ever had a large vaccination program, subsequent to that vaccination program, serious outbreaks of deadly disease have always followed. The reason is because these vaccines are laced with contagious and dangerous substances that cause our body's immune systems to weaken. Now, viral infections are a myth, essentially. Why we get sick from virus is because our immune systems become weakened to a point where the viral load that we get from these vaccinations causes us to become sick from weakness in our immune systems. You'll notice that our most of the people who end up with so-called HIV, as soon as they get on HIV drugs, they die, because the HIV drugs are not meant to cure them, but rather make them sicker. Simple fact of the matter is, and I got to tell you, this is being proven over and over again. The best way to cure people from illness is to strengthen their immune system with wholesome foods, with unadulterated and unprocessed foods that don't have chemicals, that don't have byproducts, that don't have genetically modified elements to them. They don't come in contact with radiation. They don't come in contact with pesticides. These are the kinds of environmental stresses that cause our immune system to become sick. And then when they give us these inoculations, our immune systems become fragile to the point of accepting all kinds of illness. And, of course, this has been very successful. They have got a new one on the horizon here. This new bird flu thing is going to be hitting the front page of every newspaper in the next few weeks again. And there is plans, I believe, there are plans worldwide for an epidemic of bird flu. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to get this off the ground worldwide and how it's going to come about is still in the... Well, I'm still working out what they're doing, but the fact of the matter is the infrastructure has been put in place worldwide for an epidemic of terrible proportions. It won't be bird flu. It'll be another form of this 1918 Spanish flu, which devastated the world in the tens of millions of deaths. Some people believe in excess of 100 million and could be even more devastating this time. You know, there's fraudulent information about polio. There's fraudulent information about smallpox. These people have all been involved in this. If you take a look at the progenitors of the smallpox vaccines, polio vaccines, all from the Zionist Jewish community, all of them. And in each place where these vaccines were used extensively was the areas where they had the worst outbreaks after the fact. Bill Gates and Melinda Gates have been caught putting sterilizing substances in vaccines so that women couldn't have babies. In the Americas, they're using a human papillomavirus vaccine to sterilize women. We've had thousands of women become sick. Many of them die. And the end result is that they become sterilized. They become ill for life. And their immune systems become weakened. In some instances, their immune systems are attacking their own bodies. And this is supposed to be helping them? No way, ladies and gentlemen. It was never intended to help them. These drug companies are as dangerous as any organizations on earth and in the hands of these criminals. I recommend no one takes any vaccines. None. Get yourself strong through quality food. Make sure you can find a source for milk that is not pasteurized. The bacteria in milk that are naturally there are strong and helpful. They help you build a good flora, a good flowering bacteria in your intestines that keep you healthy. You should be eating unadulterated foods that are not sprayed with heavy chemicals or pesticides. This is the way to good health, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the question because there's a whole lot more to this that I'm going to be bringing you all. Statistics about it, facts about it, theories about it. There's more coming on my website about these issues as well. You know, we don't have all the answers when it comes to the medical stuff, but very quickly we're finding out that vaccines are extraordinarily dangerous to all of us. So I hope that answers the question.
I thank you.
Did you have another one, Nadia?
No. Thank you.
Anybody who wishes to call into the show here, it's 0027-11-494-7007. And I'm always open to any. Fatima, you're with me? You got a question, Fatima?
Good evening, Mr. Jettle. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I have a few questions, but before I go ahead with my questions, I'd just like to comment on what you were saying earlier about the cure for AIDS and any disease. You should be eating healthy and wholesome food. In fact, South Africa's health minister, she places a lot of emphasis on consuming beetroot and garlic and the African potato, and the people laugh at her. They say that she's crazy, she's out of her mind. How can anybody be cured of AIDS when eating those sorts of food? They should rather be taking antiretrovirals.
And, those antiviral things are actually making her sicker, Fatima. They've proven that as soon as they get you on a course of these AZT drugs, within a short time you're not better, you're worse.
Mm-hmm. And my question as follows. I'd like you to comment on the three world wars that were planned by General Albert Pike, who's regarded as one of the main thinkers of Freemasonry. And what about our education system, the curriculum, and that? Hasn't it been set up by the Zionists and the Freemasons? Last week I happened to phone in on an intellectual challenge, and they had a guest all the way from Pakistan, and she was talking on women's rights and that, right? So I phoned into, and she was placing a lot of emphasis on secular education and that more than religious education. So when I told her about the education system, how it's been planned and that, she disagreed with me, especially about the Taiwan's theory and that, because according to my research that I've done, that Karl Marx and Taiwan and that, they have been designed by the Freemasons.
Well, Freemasonry is really just one of the cover groups that world Zionists have employed to take over the planet. You'll notice that the Illuminati was formed by a man named Weishaupt. Now, Weishaupt was given his orders to form the organization Illuminati by these wealthy Zionist bankers, including Oppenheimer and Rothschild and many others, Warburg, Schiff, Loeb, Kahn, Honig, Goldsmith, you go on and on, but and many of these names have married, the women of these families, these Jewish families, have married into British aristocracy, and they're part of the conspiracy as well. But they went out and they infiltrated the Freemasonry movement and took over the lodge in Paris called the Grand Orient Lodge. And, of course, Freemasonry moved on over to the United States, and many of the leadership in the United States, original leaders, were Freemasons. Many of them did not know they were actually working for a Kabbalistic organization. Freemasonry was sold to these people as a business organization, as a way to have good contacts with quality educated, quality elite people. But in fact, what they were doing is the bidding of this group, unbeknownst to themselves. You'll also note that that what happened with Albert Pike was he was aware that the protocols of the Elders of Zion called for a manipulative stance on the world and wars and control of education, control of medicine and law. And he put these things into his predictions for three world wars in order to force the world through anarchy and division into a control system that would end up falling victim to these Zionist controllers. Now, the first two world wars were orchestrated by this group absolutely 100% clearly. If you go to my website, iamthewitness.com, you will be able to study the facts surrounding this. It will be pointed out in almost every one of the books that is written on that front page about the Balfour signing, about the formation of Israel, about Theodore Herzl, about these protocols, about all of these things, about the overthrow of the Tsar, about Jabotinsky, about Carrasco's work, about overthrowing the Ottoman Empire, about the French Revolution, the Jacobins being financed by these people. You'll find out that all of the history that you thought you knew was a fraud, things that they told you in your classroom. Now, that brings me to your second question, the classroom work. You see, they want you to learn what they want you to know and nothing more. So that requires you to become an automaton, somebody who reads and learns things by memorization, not by critical thinking. What you're finding in young people today, more and more, is that critical thinking skills are going out the window, and what they're learning to do is just follow the directions in the book, or understand what they're being taught as far as the teacher will allow them, and nothing more. What we've lost today is our thirst for knowledge. You'll notice that people, year after year, on these standardized tests are becoming less competent, not more. The standard mean for these people is decreasing, not increasing. They are not teaching people to think. They're teaching people to follow directions. And the directions are coming directly from these people. So you are absolutely right, Fatima. This whole education system that we're living under is absolutely junk.
Mm-hmm. I actually did read the Protocols of Zion, and I am stuck into researching Freemasonry and Zionism and spreading the truth. And my last question before I leave, I'd like you to comment on fashion, the fashion industry, and global warming.
Fashion. Okay. Again, another industry controlled by Zionism. Fashion has made its way from the wealthy classes. It used to be something that you would find in the courts of Europe. You know, the French kings would have very high fashion standards for their courtesans and everything else. You would find it in Britain. You'd find it. Fashion's always been with us. You'll find it in some of the tribes of Africa. You'll find it in all over the planet. You'll find it in the Mayan culture. You'll find it. See, I think to be fashionable in one's own culture is something natural to that culture. Using it as a manipulative tool is something quite different. For Western media, using Western media and fashion standards, and then invoking those standards into cultural areas that where they don't fit. For example, if you are an observant person, a woman of Islam, and all you see barraged on your television set is Western fashion values, you feel out of place, I would imagine. You would feel like you somehow are not fitting into this world fashion kind of clique. Well, the fact of the matter is, fashion is a cultural heritage, not a worldwide heritage. And in fact, what's happening today is they're forcing a different standard on the world than the cultures they come from would allow. and I think this is wrong, because immediately it destroys your link from your own community. Thomas, Daryl Bradford Smith calling. Is this my friend from Sweden?
Yes, hi, this is Thomas Corcoran in Dalby, Sweden. Hi, Daryl. Can I give you something about retroviral drugs and pregnancy?
Yes, you may.
Okay, here in Sweden they know it's totally useless, all right, because HIV will not cross the placenta. The child will not get it while the mother is still pregnant. You get it in the birth canal during birth.
Yep.
So they don't give the mothers any retroviral drugs during the pregnancy up until the last week before a planned cesarean section, so that the child doesn't have to go through the birth canal. This business of giving drugs to the mothers, the thing is, too, the drugs, they cross the placenta, and nobody knows what that is doing to the child.
That's right, Thomas. You're exactly right. And, you know, there are a lot of people, I'm going to try to get her back on. Dr. Lorraine Day, who has done more surgeries on AIDS patients than any physician in the world, is quite clear that AIDS is an immune deficiency disease that is actually made worse by many of the drugs they're prescribing to cure it with.
Well, it's like when you have cancer, they give you radiation and chemicals which knocks out your immune system.
Which makes you sicker, Thomas.
Absolutely. I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you have a lot of other callers. I want to thank CII for giving you this great opportunity, and I thank the listeners for their enormous, generous, and appreciative and enthusiastic response. Good night, Daryl.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've known Thomas for some time. He's been a regular corresponder to my emails. By the way, email me anytime you wish at smith@iamthewitness.com. Smith@iamthewitness.com. I don't always answer with a lot of words because I get a lot of emails, many times hundreds of them a day. But I always read them, and if there's something appropriate to answer, I answer it. You won't ever get a long email from me. If you expect me to write a long email to you, you're writing to the wrong guy. But I will, and I do accept information. I love people to send me things that push the knowledge I have further along. Because without you out there who know things I don't, I would never be able to progress in this battle and tell the truth as I've learned it. So this is it's critical that you all can correspond with me at smith@iamthewitness.com. You know, I'm so heartened by the callers tonight. I mean, the level of knowledge in the South African Islamic community is heartening, ladies and gentlemen. I must say, many of us in this world who've been fighting this this battle against criminal Zionism, for a long time I felt like I was alone out there. In fact, everyone called me crazy when I first started. Nobody was on board with these facts. If you look today, that is no longer true. People are waking up to these truths. People are investigating it for themselves and coming to the conclusions I did some years ago. And I can't tell you how important it is for all of us to remain strong and continue to pass this message as far and wide as we possibly can. Others are getting on board. People who said that I was kooky, they're writing me now saying, "I'm sorry, Daryl, for calling you a nut. I've looked into it, and you were right." And I write them back, and I say, "Thanks, tell others." That's all I do. There's no, you shouldn't have done that, and look. Water under the bridge, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people, you know, start out not knowing very much. I've done the same thing, and I've been guilty of writing people off when they knew things that I thought they were wrong about. You know, we all have the ability to learn. So let's learn together. Let's make this a battle for a future we can all enjoy and our children can enjoy. One that respects culture, one that respects difference. One that respects our racial makeup and our cultural divide and celebrates our differences, not destroys us for them. These are the kinds of things that I hope for in this life. You know, getting on this radio show, I'm not compensated for this. I don't get paid for it. Unlike many people that get on radio, everyone thinks that Daryl Bradford Smith is getting paid for this. I certainly am not. In fact, there have been months where this whole fight that I have costs my wife and myself money. But it's unimportant what the cost is, because there is no value that you can place upon a good world. I want to leave a legacy of good works behind me. And I think if everyone had that same goal, this would be a great place to be born into, ladies and gentlemen, this world. If we had a legacy of good works that we left behind as our gift to the world, this would be a wonderful world to live in. So, any last callers? There's still enough time here for a couple of people to call in on this CII Broadcasting Friday. You know, the American public is on pins and needles, ladies and gentlemen. There are all kinds of events on the horizon for the American country and for Europe. Financial problems, as I've explained in previous broadcasts, they're not going away. This strengthening of the dollar is simply a mirage. It's temporary. The drop in the gold price, again, a mirage, temporary. This respite we're having from the possible war in Russia, there'll be other wars coming on our horizon. There are other problems they're going to unleash upon us. There is martial law in the planning in the United States. There is financial collapse on the offing for Europe and America. There are problems in the Chinese economy. There are things that are going to happen in this global environment that are going to shock and sicken you. And if we are strong enough, and if we are determined enough to share these facts with everyone who will listen and have them do their due diligence to read these facts, to understand them and tell others, we may be able to mitigate, to lessen these problems. You know, this is really about hoping to limit suffering that is going to come at the hands of these people's decisions. George Bush is a puppet and a front man for a criminal network. So is Mr. Sarkozy. So is Mr. Brown. So is Mrs. Merkel. So is Mr. Mbeki. So are so many of these people around the world. Don't be fooled by the things they tell you. Don't accept their lies. Don't accept the things they are trying to tell you when you know in your heart it's wrong. I have heard so many problems are starting to erupt in South Africa with violence and the burning of cars and buses and such. These kinds of events, ladies and gentlemen, are often propagated by these people in order to create an environment of fear and create an environment of anarchy, so that that these controllers can come in with their own solutions. And you know, some of the groups that you think are working for you are probably not, at least at their leadership level. You know, many people in America have finally begun to wake up to the fact that their Congress, their senators and congressmen and judges across the country are not working for the public. People in France are knowing this. They know that the laws that are being changed here in France are bringing the French public one step closer each change to tyranny. And we're not any longer deluding ourselves into thinking that the people we have placed in positions of power are interested in helping us. So whose job is it to make these changes and save us? It's our job. It's you and I, you and me. We are here as the last bastion. Abdullah, you are welcome back on this line. Is this the Abdullah I just spoke to?
Oh, no, it's another Abdullah. I've just come home and I've just been hearing you. I you know, yours is a great show, mashallah. I just want to ask you, you had once interviewed a chap called James Dickey. I don't know whether he's still alive, but if he is, maybe you should get him on again. He sounded like a really knowledgeable person.
Well, James Dickey is still around, and yes, I can still get him back on, and I may in fact do that sometime in the very near future. He is very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
He's also from the Islamic community, and he's a very kind man, and I must tell you, it would be an interesting conversation with James Dickey once again. So yes,
yeah.
I am planning on doing that.
And one small suggestion, you know, at the moment you've just started this radio show off, so I can imagine you doing like a general overview of things. But it may be a good idea for you to because a lot of us are unaware of the detailed facts about specific things that you talk about. For example, 7-7, you talked about that it was done by them, it was an inside job. But if you could do a detailed job of that or other things, it might be a good idea.
Well, what I like to do, Abdel, let me get the people just a little quick brush up here before we call it a show. I like you to go to the website, or I like you to read the books that I have. That gives you the minutia, the details.
Right.
What I try to give on my program is an overview.
Okay.
Detail, I tell you where to find it.
Yeah.
You can get the information online, but I give you an overview. I give you a general idea of what's happened and how it happened.
Right.
And so what I'm able to do that way is tell it in a story format. And instead of me being a university professor, I'm kind of a storyteller about the facts.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're a very courageous man. May Allah Ta'ala protect you, inshallah, and guide you.
Thank you, my friend.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are reaching the end of the French Connections Friday edition. It was a call-in show. There will be another call-in show next Friday. We will probably have a subject matter to talk about, and I will do a monologue in advance. And we also have a guest coming up for next Tuesday. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you to take care of your families. Be kind to them and the neighbors you have. Tell your friends and colleagues around you the stories that we're discussing on this program. And please, for all of you, please, be well. Bye-bye now.